Da-da-da-da.
Biscast episode 3
for March 2006. Yes, it certainly is. Hello and welcome, Jammers of the World, to our third episode of this podcast. We've got an absolute brilliant episode coming up for you today. Well, we hope you think so anyway.
I'm John Coxhead.
I'm Joe McCrave.
Okay.
So, let's go. I think before we really get started, to John to hear what's going to happen today.
Firstly, we will have the freestyle news from the past month, followed by a brand new segment, which is the FPA news from the last month, which has been specially put together for Discast. The FPA is a great association. They do a lot of work every month, so we thought that it deserved its own segment. Following that, we have this month's infamous now Discast discussions. And this month we have, drumroll please, Joe, 11-time freestyle world champion Arthur Coddington.
Woo.
And he will be talking to us about the new book, which he has been largely involved in, This Is Freestyle, and Frisbee Freestyle as an Olympic sport.
Ooh. Oh, wow. I am excited.
And then we have another new segment for this month, which is a player profile. And every month now, from now on, we're going to give you all you could possibly need to know and more about one of the main jammers in the world. Could be anyone.
So, John, relieve us of our suspense and tell us who it's going to be this month.
Well, we're starting off with the current world number one and world champion, Tom Leitner. So I hope you all enjoy that one. Following that, we have this month's how-to section, and we have Dan Lustiger on joining us from Israel to tell us about the flamingitosis. But don't worry if this sounds a bit too advanced for you, because he'll also be giving us tips on the flamingitis and the flamingosis. So, we're looking forward to that.
We are.
Following that, we have the Frisbee Fact of the Month, which I'll be providing this month, following Joe's last month. There'll be a couple of announcements to round us off at the end, and that'll be episode 3.
Okay.
Now, it's straight over to the Discast News Centre to join Joe for this month's past month's freestyle news.
Okay, thanks, John. The first story this month, This Is Freestyle, has been released, a photography book that chronicles freestyle in 2005. It was released earlier in February, and if you're very interested in that, which I'm sure you obviously all are, it's a really cool project. Then you'll hear more from Arthur Coddington about that later in our Discast discussion. Moving on Friday the 24th of Feb, Clay Calera, Matteo Gadoni, Eleonora Immazio, Alessandro Calera, commonly known as Ali, I believe, Matteo Cereza, Luca Medri and Fabio Sana, I hope I got all your names right, guys, did a freestyle demo at the Olympic Village in Torino, where the Winter Olympics took place. Again, you can hear more about that in our discussion.
Sure can.
And that was organised by Louis and Clay. Calera, good job, guys. Okay, and pictures can actually be seen at the Shredno Gallery for them over at www.shredno.com and also in the FBA Gallery over at freestyledisc.org. And on the subject of pictures from there, there's also a couple of pics in the official Olympic Village newsletter, which again you can see in PDF format at shredno.com. Okay.
Anything
else? The video will follow soon from that. Yes, John, we've got a lot of news today, actually. The Puerto Rico Winter Jam 2006 took place on February the 17th and lasted until the 20th in Carolina. Would you like to know who won, John?
Go on, enlighten me.
Everybody. Apparently, it was a real party, hosted by Piper Lopez, and he has actually announced now that it will change its name to Puerto Rico Winter Camp from now on.
Ooh. Interesting.
On the subject of tournaments, a few bits of information about upcoming tournaments have been posted around the net on the Yahoo groups. If you don't know about them, if you go over to Yahoo and click on groups, and you'll see if you search for Frisbee Freestyle, I think that there's two main predominant groups. There's the Jammers on the Net group, and there's also Euro Freestyle. And if you have a look on there, then you'll find lots of information about upcoming tournaments, including Paganello 06, Costa Brava 06, the Winter Shred 5. Is that right?
It is.
And the EFC's 06. Now, lastly but not least, the 2005 Jammy Awards have been announced.
Ah, well, it is award season at the moment, isn't it?
It is, yes. We've had the Grammys, but no, these are the Jammies. So, the results are in. The Joey Hood-Ocklin's Men's Player of the Year goes to Dave Schiller. Stacey McCarthy's Women's Player of the Year goes to Amy Schiller. Skippy Jammer / Bill Wright Krusty Guru Jam Master Award goes to Skippy Jammer himself. The Most Missed Male Award goes to Dan Stork Roddick. Most Underrated to Joachim Arveskar. Comeback of the Year, Jonathan Willett. Rookie of the Year, Luca Mazzucato. I think that's his name.
Something like that.
sorry if I've got that wrong. The Dave Schiller Most Turbo Award goes to Fabio Sona. The Bethany Sanchez / Mary Lowry Spirit of the Jam Award goes to Louis Calera. The Most Missed Female to Gina Sample. The Tommy Leitner Move of the Year to Jake Gauthier, Randy Sylvie, and Matt Gauthier for a co-op move they did. Demo / Show Award to Tommy at the Roman Day in Sport with over 1,000 spectators, I must just mention. The Tournament of the Year to Chris DiPaolo and the Narragansett Jam. The Jan Ekman / Clay Calera Male International Player of the Year Award to Reto Zimmerman. The Female International Player of the Year Award goes to Hila Yaniv. And the Routine of the Year, last but certainly, silly not least, to, again, Randy Sylvie, Jake Gauthier, Matt Gauthier, for a routine at this last year's Worlds. So that's all the news from our Discus News Centre here
in the
UK.
I'd just like to say a big congratulations to all those who won a Jammy. Well done.
Yep. Very well deserved, all of you. And so I think, John, we're ready to move on to our FPA news.
It is. It's a new segment for this month. Anyway, the biggest news, I think, to start us off, is that the 2006 FPA discs are in. They had a design contest which a few entries are put in. We've seen them all, they're very good indeed. You can see them on the FPA forums. And it was won by Damiano Basso, who also, incidentally, did all the artwork from This Is Freestyle, the new book, which you'll hear much more about later. The news about these discs is that when you buy an FPA membership, you get free of charge, you get a Sky Styler with the 2006 FPA design on. You also get a WAMO HDX freestyle disc, and you get a Whiz Ring. So, and I think everyone needs to know that these memberships are the only source of money for the FPA. All the people who work for the FPA are volunteers, so they all have to pay for their memberships themselves, just like everybody else. There are three levels of membership. There's a Jammer membership, a competitive membership, or a Platinum membership. And I think it's got to be mentioned that the Jammer memberships are made very cheap. I think they're only $10 for the US and $15 for international. They're extremely low cost in order to spread the jam and to try and get more and more members, as many as possible. But the FPA would like to say that they actually currently do lose money on each one of these which is sold. And they rely basically on freestylers buying competitor or platinum level memberships to help make up the difference and to try and make a bit of profit from it, a bit of much needed profit. And also, it's got to be noted that if you'd like to compete, in the FPA Worlds 2006 or in the 2006 European Freestyle Championships, you must have a competitor or platinum membership. A JAMA level membership will not entitle you to play in these tournaments. And it's better buying one of these from the start, because if you want to upgrade your JAMA membership later on after you've found out about this, the upgrade cost is quite a lot, and it's also quite a lot of hassle for the volunteers.
That's actually if you upgrade at the tournament when you get there.
It is, sorry. But the FPA does want everyone to compete in, you know, the FPA Worlds and the EFCs. So if you're a new JAMA and you're light on cash, email Tom Leitner through the FPA website, and you may be considered for an FPA JAMA-ship.
Okay. Thanks, John. Moving on. The forum at the FPA, freestylediss.org. If you click on forum, you'll be able to get a link. I think the direct link is actually /learn to jam. It's only in its second month, the forum, but it is growing. I think we'd all love to see kind of more people getting involved in that forum. So head over there. You also get the chance to ask Skippy Jammer himself questions on how to do moves and the history of moves, etc.
It's a chance not to be missed.
You know, how regularly is it that you get to ask questions of such a legend? So yeah, log in, get a membership, log in and take part in the forum.
Another something to mention about the forums is the 2005 Jammy Awards, which we've announced the winners of earlier. There's on the forums, there are some very good write-ups on these awards and why they were named after, you know, the legends. Like, for example, there's the Joey Hudoklin Male Player of the Year Award. You can see why it's named after Joey, and you can also see why whoever has been chosen to win the award, you can see why they have won it. It all provides a very interesting read. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So head over for that.
Okay. There's an FPA video project taking place at the moment. I think there's three main key players involved in that. Fabio, Zed Wayne and Bob Boulouer. And these guys are working on a strategy to try and get as many past videos from tournaments converted to a digital format and then get them onto the web so you can all see them. And so we've already got the Lowe's results online, results since 1992, and so you'll be able to go on the tournament and then hopefully be able to see links to see videos from that tournament. So that'll definitely be a very useful resource for people.
It will.
And that they'll be also be posting them apparently on the FPA photo gallery, and possibly on some sort of experimental board on the FPA forum.
Okay, and one last thing to mention in this month's FPA news is, as last month we told you about the results that have been posted on the freestyledisc.org from as far back as 1992. But there's an addition to make to this, because the results are not only up, but they can also be sorted into results by player. So you go on the results page, and there's a tab on the left-hand side, which is results by player. You can select your JAMA from anyone in the world, and it'll give you all of their tournament results ever, and details about each of those tournaments. It's really very in-depth.
Seriously good.
And at the bottom of every single player profile on the FPA, all the tournament results for that player are shown at the bottom. So we hope you all use that well and find it useful.
Okay, I think that just about wraps up both our main news and our FPA news.
It does.
Hope you all enjoyed that, found it useful. Okay, and I think now we're ready to move on to this month's main segment, the Discast discussion.
Yep, we're talking to Arthur Coddington. Let's head over for that now.
Okay, hello and welcome, Jams of the World, to episode 3's Discast discussion.
Yes, and this episode we have none other than 11-time world freestyle champion Arthur Coddington joining us direct on the line from California. Hello, Arthur.
Hi, guys. Hello.
How are you today?
Doing pretty good.
Good stuff.
Ready to talk some freestyle.
Yep. Well, first in the line for today's discussion is we're going to be talking about the new book that has been released called This Is Freestyle, which has been put together by Arthur, Louis Tassini, and Damiano Basso. I hope we've got those two of the names right.
That's it. Yeah.
Good. So, just to for everyone who doesn't know Arthur, just explain what exactly this book is.
This Is Freestyle. The easiest way to describe it is it's a book of photography, and it's a photographs from freestyle in 2005 by photographers from around the world. There are 9 photographers in the book, and on top of that, Louis and I wrote articles and captions and essays about freestyle. So, but it's also in English and Italian. So Louis wrote in Italian and I wrote in English.
All right.
And then cool. Damiano wrapped it all up in a very sleek graphic design that transformed it from just a collection of words and photos into an actual book. We're really proud of it, and we hope that it does justice to our sport.
Yeah, it looks very impressive from the... we haven't actually got a copy of the book yet, but we've seen the sneak like kind of like pictures from inside the book on the thisisfreestyle.com, the website.
Yeah.
And it looks very impressive the way it's put together.
Looks nice, yeah.
We'll certainly be ordering some copies. So this is just nice and cheap, isn't it? $10 on lulu.com.
Certainly.
That's what we wanted. We wanted it to be, you know, photo books sometimes are, you know, $40, $50.
So, yeah.
And we wanted something that people could experience. And so we decided, a lot of the photos started out in color, but we decided let's just make it a black and white book, keep it simple, keep it affordable for people, and make it about the visual and the experience rather than the gloss and the glitz.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely accessible. Oh, yeah. So, I suppose, Arthur, what inspired you to start creating this project?
Europe. Basically, not being in Europe to see everything that went on this year.
Yeah.
So I would be reading about the events and seeing all the photos from the events and wishing I was there. And then,
tell us about it.
And then the second thing was after the Worlds, I encountered, just by chance, I encountered photos by 2 non-freestyle photographers who were just there at Seattle in the crowd. And they were really good photographs, and I thought, people might never even see these, but... they should. It got me thinking about Nikki.
All right, that's cool.
So are those 2 photographers, are they two of the photographers that have contributed to this book then?
Yes.
Cool. So will we be seeing some of those photos from Seattle in this book?
Yeah, actually many of them.
They each had
half a dozen to a dozen photos, and so we put several of each of those photographers' works in the book.
Well, that's good. Another thing just to mention for people who are interested, I was checking out on lulu.com earlier, and there is free shipping worldwide on orders between $25 and $100, so you might as well go and buy 3 copies, and you can give your spare ones away as birthday presents or whatever, because
it's a good deal that they have going right now. I took advantage of that myself.
Yeah, I think we will be taking advantage of that as well, because normally international shipping can be quite high.
Another thing to know is that Louis will have some books available to European, you know, people who are interested. She's got the books already. We wanted to make sure that people didn't get hit by the shipping across the Atlantic. So Louis and I made sure that she had some books to offer people from within the continent.
Cool. So she might have some of those at upcoming tournaments and things then.
Yeah.
For anybody who's interested.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you remember, Arthur. A while ago, you told us that you were planning a Frisbee sort of book. I think it was more of an instructional thing called Frisbee Tricks for Everyone or something like that. Is this still in the pipeline, or is this sort of instead of that?
I've kind of set aside the instructional book for now. This Is Freestyle was, you know, the idea that we had this fall, and it felt good because, I can actually publish a book even though it's not the the instructional book that I had planned a little while ago. So for now, I've set aside that project. One of the reasons is that the manuscript got stolen. my home was burglarized and my laptop was stolen, and the manuscript was on the laptop. So it was hard to go back and start from scratch.
Oh dear, yeah, I can imagine.
Someday I might do it, but at the moment I'm not ready to go back there.
Yeah.
Well, there's always the DVDs and things, and then I was. Dave and Zed are working on Volume 2 at the moment, aren't they?
Yes. I think that's going to be an incredible DVD based on the number of people that they've filmed to show things.
Yeah, we are really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, we are, definitely.
I'm sure they'll also have a ton more advanced moves on there that people can spend even more time exploring the DVD than they were on the first one.
Yep.
Yes, I think this book could quite an interesting thing, and it could lead to something possibly a new trend that happens sort of every year. It'd be good if a book similar to This Is Freestyle was produced at the end of each year. It'd be a good sort of just momentum to remember each year of freestyle from.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's actually the Louis and I plan that this is not the only This Is Freestyle book.
Yeah.
When we were halfway through making it, we realized that we had way more photographs than we could ever use in one book, and that people were going to keep taking great photographs. And so,
yeah.
Soon on the This Is Freestyle website, you'll be able to actually submit photos if you want to be part of the next book.
All right.
Oh, cool.
That's a great idea.
We'll have to get snapping, thinking about what comes next. Yeah. We'll have to get practicing our photo-taking technique and try and get some good ones from the UK.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Arthur, you mentioned that you had the idea... sorry, when was it? Last fall?
It was sometime after the Worlds, maybe, let's say September.
Yeah, so it seems like it's been quite quick to produce. Like, how long would it actually take you overall?
Well, the website that prints it for us, lulu.com,
yep,
makes things very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you send them the book, and it's available.
Right.
So most of the work was finding the photographs we wanted to use, and then Damiano gave us a great look for the book, and then we just had to work with him to write words that fit in with the layout of the book and the spirit of the book. So it actually did come together very quickly, which is one of the great things about print on demand, that you can have an idea, and then literally the next day, if you're talented enough as a designer, literally the next day you can have a book on set.
Yeah. What sort of things do the essays include in the book? Can you give us some examples?
Well, the book is kind of a contrast between the style of Louis and the style of Arthur. Louis is very poetic, and her essays are longer than mine, and we actually play with that a little bit in the book. So her writing is kind of the through line of the book, almost like the making of This Is Freestyle and her experience of 2005. She actually went to most of the events in Europe and traveled to the Worlds, so she has the experience of the entire year. And then mine are specific to the images in the book, so they're not simply captions. I try to take what's happening in the picture and either talk about how it relates to freestyle as a whole, or talk about the person who's in the photo, or I talk about for instance, there's a photo of some of the women jammers, and so one of the captions talks about what it is to be a female jammer.
All right.
Rather than, you know, the move that someone's doing or the particular person or where it happened, there's some, you know, larger issues and thoughts that we take on, and just over 70 pages, it spans a lot of different subjects.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. I can't wait to get a copy and read it, definitely.
Yeah, well, thanks for this. It's been a great insight into this book, Arthur. We can't wait to read a copy. We'd recommend it to everyone, really. Good work. I think now we're going to move on to a bit of a discussion about... it's a very sort of widely debated topic in freestyle. It's Frisbee freestyle as an Olympic sport.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this week there's been a bit of involvement with the Olympics with a few of the Italians heading over to Torino for the into the Winter Olympic Village to do a demonstration there.
Yeah, that was an amazing opportunity.
It was. We can't wait to see, you know, and hear more about that. Obviously, there's a lot of positives and negatives from having freestyle as an Olympic sport. Like, naturally, it'd help the sport to grow and expand and no end, really, and increase in popularity, get more people involved, get it seen all over the world. Like, what are your views in general?
Before even talking about the positives and negatives, I think that maybe a reality check. we need to do a little reality check, because the road to the Olympics is a very long one. And right now, the Olympics isn't really interested in adding new sports, unless they are piggybacking on existing sports. So, for instance, snowboarding is only in the Olympics because they are considered part of skiing.
Yeah.
So the dream of the Olympics is a great one. The reality is that it's a long road, and that there are plenty of additional opportunities for exposure along the way. And that's something that the World Climbers Federation has been working on for more than 10 years. They've gotten Ultimate into the World Games, which it's kind of like a stepping stone on the way to the Olympics. It's a, you know, big international sports festival that stands on its own,
mm-hmm.
but it's also kind of a showcase for sports that might be considered to be taken to the next level.
Yeah. What do you think the knock-on effect on freestyle would be if Ultimate made it into the Olympics? Do you think it would be sort of become a little sort of showcase side sport of Ultimate, you know, as like everyone would see Ultimate as the main frisbee sport, and freestyle would be this kind of like side sort of showcasing thing like freestyle basketball is now?
You could do it both ways. I mean, Ultimate is traditional in a way, because it's a field sport and it's a team sport.
Yeah,
rules are somewhat unconventional, but it fits better into people's conception of what a sport is than some of the other sports. My opinion is if Ultimate were in the Olympics, that the best way to position freestyle, it would be more of an underground thing. That, these guys they're not really interested in playing Ultimate as a team sport. They're doing their own thing on the underground world level, and they're just pushing the limits of what you can do with the disc more than throwing it to a teammate. To take it to the skateboard, snowboard side rather than the figure skating side,
mm-hmm.
where the figure skating is very polished and formal, and skateboarding and snowboarding has more of a freeform mentality and an independent spirit.
Yeah. Like, just say, obviously for now, like you've said before, the reality check is simply a dream that Frisbee freestyle will be an Olympic sport, and it's very sort of unreal at the moment. But, what do you think, like, things like how drug testing and things like that would affect it, if it ever did make it into the Olympics?
Yeah, that for me, that's one of the biggest concerns for me, is the drug testing that WADA WADA is doing right now, for me, is a little over the top. It's not tailored to the demands of the particular sport they're testing. So, for instance, a chess player might be tested for drugs that increase their fast twitch muscles, but that doesn't improve their chess playing.
Not so.
We're already actually seeing a taste of it, because World Finest Federation has instituted some drug testing in Ultimate for international events. And Ultimate players weren't really that thrilled about it. They didn't feel like they were consulted, and they felt like the list of prohibited substances didn't really fit in with the the kind of experience of their sport that they wanted. You know, if you can't take a allergy medicine because you want to compete in an ultimate tournament.
Yeah, that's,
you
know, pretty.
Are you just going to play a pickup game instead? At some point it becomes a choice like that. You know, if the choice for me is between breathing at night and sleeping and competing in a tournament, if my allergies are bad enough, it becomes an issue. And there are drugs on the list that WADA has. There are drugs on the list that are like that, where people have to make a choice of whether they can, you know, survive day to day. There's an American athlete at the Olympics who was disqualified for using a baldness therapy. And he had been using the same drug for years, and they added a component of this drug to their banned list within the last year. And nothing changed in terms of his, you know, desire to have a full head of hair, but he wasn't allowed to compete in the Olympics because of it.
I think it's just stupid, some of the some of the drugs that are banned. I think they do need to reconsider some of the things they have on the list of banned substances, you know, because a lot of them are just things that you can just get, like, you know, over the counter and for normal day allergies. Yeah,
there's a certain high and mighty attitude that WADA comes with, that, you know, if you disagree with them, then you must be in league with the cheaters, and I think that's a really mistaken attitude to take, because there's certainly virtue to what they're doing in terms of trying to create an even playing field and trying to discover who's using masking agents to prevent the discovery of people who are cheating. But it's got to be tailored to the needs of the sport, and it's got to be tailored to the desires of the sport. You know, if freestyle were in the Olympics, wouldn't we care if someone was using it, was somebody on the banned list? And if the sport doesn't care, if the athletes don't care, then is it a problem?
You know? Yeah.
So those are the issues that you know, you start getting confronted with when you get close to Olympic style events.
Yeah, and also I think it'd be, you know, you'd have to put so much time, energy, and effort into getting freestyle as an Olympic sport that I suppose there are just other things you can do to promote it, aren't there?
Oh yeah,
I mean, other ways you can get it into the media.
Imagine the concerted effort for years or even decades that you would need in order to just be considered to be added.
Yeah,
and what other things you could be doing in that time that would make the sport thrive.
So, anything more to say, Joe? On that topic?
No, not really. I just think the whole thing is definitely a very interesting sort of point. But I think for the stage that freestyle at in the moment, then certainly the most appropriate thing, and given the spirit of the game as well, it just seems to be developing it in the ways we already are doing, really, and promoting it in the, you know, more accessible ways in the Olympics, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to keep in mind where each player sees that, keep in mind, what does the sport mean to you? Where do you want it to go? And does this opportunity fit in with that? And there will definitely be disagreements along the way. You know, for some people, playing a more commercial, playing a more competitive style might not work. Mm-hmm. They might be more happy jamming or playing smaller tournaments with friends. It's a matter of just deciding, you know, is this true to where that you want the sport to go? And at a certain point, the leadership of the sport and the people who tend to be more active in the sport would have to make some of the larger decisions, but they would need to just go back to that. Okay, is this a good thing for the sport? Is it a good use of our efforts or a good use of our time and resources?
Yeah.
Or could we achieve more through other means?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, with the way, you know, where we're at at the moment, it's probably just better to be going to things like in the last few days at the Winter Olympics and doing demonstrations. Like, I know someone, I can't remember where I read this, it could have been on a comment on Shred Now or something like that. Someone had said with, like, Wham-O, because Wham-O's recently been bought by the Chinese, could this lead to demonstrations at Beijing in 2008 for the Olympics there? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think about that?
As a demonstration sport, it would have to go through the same, you know, ladder of achievement that the other sports would have, but as a kind of a demonstration like the guys and girls in Torino did, it's definitely a possibility. Especially if it was well received by the Olympic people in Torino.
It seems like it was.
So if those people are consulted about it, they will go, oh yeah, it's a good idea, people like that. And the athletes like to try it. So yeah, definitely do that. Torino is a good experience, not only because we got to do it, but because it went well and it now has good word of mouth. People are asked about it.
Yeah, no, like they had an official Olympic photographer or something went over to take photos, and apparently that had never happened with any other sort of demonstrations that had taken place in the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a big interest, and you know the organisers may even, when thinking about demonstration sports for 2008, may even mm-hmm. come back to, try and contact, Clay and the freestylers again, and try and get some players over for a demo there.
In the first World Games, there were Olympic observers, people who came from the Olympic Committee to watch the different sports. And what I heard was that they enjoyed disc golf and ultimate. And so there's, you know, with the media, sometimes there's a battle of proving that freestyle is worth covering or getting over the toy origins of it. But it seems like from what I heard, the Olympic representatives, they were receptive to it as being a legitimate athletic activity, and it was taken in just as any other sport at that festival was taken in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a freestyle demo at the World Games a few years ago, Larry or something?
At the first one, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, the first one, I forget exactly. It was Akita, Japan. I think it was maybe 1999. And Larry and Bill Wright and one other player did a demo.
What sort of reception did that get?
Don't really recall hearing any specifics about it other than it went well.
Yeah. Because wasn't Ultimate... Is that now a... Did you say that was a World Disc Games sport now? Or what's
right,
that?
World, no, a World Games. Akita,
World Games. World Disc Games.
Right, the World Games. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Akita, Disc Golf and Ultimate were demonstration sports, and then Ultimate became a medal sport.
Alright.
Yeah, that's interesting. And do you think that on a world scale, like that, if we got involvement with the Olympics, you mentioned like there's a battle to, you know, see if you can make the organisers see that it's legitimate athletic kind of sport. Do you think on a world scale it would be received freestyle as a legitimate athletic sport, or you know, would it be this small kind of offshoot of disc golf and ultimate, as we said, they were enjoying it?
I don't think people would view it as an offshoot of ultimate or disc golf mm-hmm. if it were in the Olympics. I mean, if it's in the Olympics, then people ask, is your sport in the Olympics? You go, yeah. And just that gives you a certain level of acceptance.
Yeah,
and
credibility.
There's a certain subset of sports in the Olympics that are mocked. Synchronized swimming, even though it's incredibly difficult and athletic sport, they get mocked because of their image. But it's probably one of the most demanding sports in the world. Curling in the Winter Olympics also, it's a hard time. That's just, you know, you got to take that as part of the territory. If they decide that you're the joke sport, who cares? Yeah. You're in the Olympics.
Well, don't diss the curling, because that's just about the only thing that Team GB are good at at the Winter Olympics. Well, we didn't do too well this time.
Yeah, not that it came off this time.
Yeah. But last time, we won a gold medal in that, and so we were all thinking we were going to win it again, but no. Ah, well.
It was fixed.
Yeah. It was. Well, I think that just pretty much wraps up this month's Discast discussion. Thanks a lot, Arthur, for doing this with us. It's been great
to... Keep up the good work.
It's been great to have you
on,
Arthur.
It's been great to talk to you about this is freestyle and, of course, the Olympics as well.
It was fun.
Good. Maybe we'll have you on again another time.
Be my pleasure.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, and bye for now, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for that, Arthur. Again, as we just thanked you in the end of that. But that was a great insight into This Is Freestyle, and we also had an excellent discussion. We hope you have all enjoyed that.
Yep, it was great to talk to you. More guests coming in future episodes.
They are indeed. And now it's time for another new segment this month, which we've told you about, and it's the Discast Player Profile. And as mentioned, we are doing it on Tom Lightning Leitner. So, start us off, Joe.
Well, here's the lowdown. Tom Lightning Leitner, as he's commonly known, he currently lives in Rome, Italy, but he was actually born in California.
He is 6 foot tall.
He has 16 major titles.
He is a webmaster and teacher. He has a BS in computer science, and he's also involved in child education.
His past sponsors include Side Out Sport and also Nike, who sponsored him and Suni Wenzel to go on a freestyle tour.
They did. A few of his career highlights include, of course, the 2003 Nike Freestyle Face-Off Tour, the 2003 World Championships with Suni Wenzel and Paul Kenny, the routine they did there. He's won 14 major titles. He's a member of the four-person US Frisbee team at the World Expo in Brisbane, Australia. And he is the two-time Player of the Year.
Yep, he's been involved with several mentors. And he's lucky enough to have had Skippy Jammer, Joey Hodocklin and Larry Imperial all help him along his way on his freestyle journey.
He started freestyling back in 1983.
And he actually started to learn in high school.
His favourite move is the double spinning standing gyitis pull. Wow.
Yep, that's pretty impressive. And he's also interested in music, travel, sports such as volleyball and basketball, and also footbag.
Partners past and present include Dave Schiller, Joel Rogers, Suni Wenzel, Pat Maron, Clay Calera, Pipo Lopez, Paul Kenny, Skippy Jammer, and many, many more, but not enough time to listen more.
No. Now, what do you not know about Tom Leitner, you're thinking? Well, how about his favourite snack? According to him, very clever Tom, this, by the way.
It is.
He says his favourite snack is toast with Skippy peanut butter and lots of jam.
Another interesting fact about Tom, not many people know this one, but... Larry Imperiali used to work with his mum, and Larry and Skippy once did a demo at the annual work picnic when Tom was just 15 years old and he'd only just started to spin the disc. And both Larry and Skippy went on to become two of his mentors.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from 1987 to 1989, he was a member of the Air Aces Frisbee team, and while involved with them, performed over 300 freestyle shows.
That's amazing in the space of time.
It's incredible.
Back in 1995, he started Frisbee.com, which at the time was only the second freestyle page on the internet. Just came out 1 month after Roger Meyer's page. Tom has spent thousands of hours working on this site since, and until recent years, it was the primary source of freestyle information on the net.
Yeah, but even before that, John, and listeners, he began Jammers on the Net in 1993. And at that time, they had 5 subscribers.
Yeah.
Probably similar to Discast. No, I'm only joking. And now, Jammers on the Net, okay, listen to this, 500 members.
I think that's
when you combine that with Euro Freestyle.
Yeah, I think 500 is more like Discast.
Yeah.
Anyway... and to finish it off, we have a quote from Tom here. He says, the most exciting thing to happen to our sport, even more exciting than the Nike commercial and tour, has been the amazing growth of the sport in Europe over the past 5 or 6 years. Not only all the new players, but having so many new events to go to as well, plus the spirit over here and in the US right now is fantastic. Everybody seems much more optimistic about the sport's future, and we are all waiting to see the next Joey Hudoklin or Stacey Anderson.
Yep, inspirational from Tom there. Tom, obviously a great player. He's one of the top jammers that we've actually been lucky enough to meet in person, and he's been really active lately. A great jammer.
We hope you found some of that, some of the later information there new and interesting. We tried hard to get that. Now it's heading over to Israel, to Dan Lustiger.
Once more.
Who is giving us a how-to section on the flamingitosis, but also running through the flamingosis and the flamingitis.
This is How to Do a Flamingitosis for Discast Episode 3 by Dan Lustiger, a.k.a. Lusty. The flamingitosis is a catch combined in the flamingosis and the flamingitis. To do flamingitosis, it's important that you know those two catches. To do flamingosis, what you do is catch a flamingo, combining it with a body spin to the opposite direction. That means that if I'm catching in the disc with my right hand, I'll have to spin into the opposite way to encounter clockwise. Before you catch it, it's important that your leg pass the disc from above it. If I'm going to do a flamingosis with my right hand, I have to roll it counterclockwise, lift my leg over the disc, and then catch it. The flamingitis is also an advanced catch that you need to know to accomplish the flamingitosis. The flamingitis is a guidance done with the leg that you're catching under is the one on the ground, and the other is the one in the air. This catch can be seen in the DVD of Z and Dave, so you better watch it to understand how it's done. To catch the flamingitis, you may want to set the disc a bit to the right so your hand can reach it. Now after you've mastered those two catches, it's time to go to flamingitosis. The flamingitosis is just a combining of those two catches. You use the flamingitis position with the flamingosis' movement. That means that if you're catching it with your right hand, you need to rotate clockwise, lift your right leg over the disc, and then catch it in the flamingitis position. Once again, it's important to set the disc a bit to the right, so it'll be easier to catch it. Also, don't set the disc too high, or your leg won't be able to go over it. Now, set the disc not too high, and after you set the disc, quickly rotate to the opposite direction of the catch. That means that if you're catching it with your right hand, you have to rotate clockwise. After you set it, rotate quickly, then lift your right leg over the disc and catch it. A few tips to this problematic catch is basically to work a lot on the movement and try it both indoors and outdoors. Remember, this is a really problematic catch and it's really complex. So work on it a lot if you do not complete it the first time. It's a lot of work, so put all your work into it. Put all your effort and all your muscles into it. Now, go practice.
Okay, thanks Dan for that.
It was great stuff, thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely a good insight. Okay, well, fun segment up now, John. Hit me with this month's freestyle fact.
The freestyle frisbee fact for March. Don't know how this will compare to last month, so you make your minds up.
So it can't be as good, surely.
Anyway, here we go.
Right, go on.
In the 1982 animated motion picture The Secret of NIMH, the main character's name was changed in post-production from Frisbee to Brisbee to avoid potential trademark infringements.
Wow.
And the film was directed by Don Bluth and it was released by United Artists.
Very nice. Interesting.
And just to let you all know, if you still have some pocket money left after you've purchased your copy of This Is Freestyle and your Platinum FPA membership, and you'd like to see the film, head over to Amazon.com where you can buy the special edition DVD for just $11.
So has this actually got anything to do with Frisbee, the actual film, or is it just to avoid a...
Oh, no. It's just the character's name was Frisbee. They had to change it to avoid trademark infringements.
Wow. Yeah. I wish my name was Frisbee.
Yeah. Right. A few announcements now, just to round episode 3 off. Firstly, it's a bit of a request now from the listeners. We'd like you all to send in your funny, strange, interesting, unusual, or in any way bizarre Frisbee stories. Send them to us at ukdistyle@yahoo.co.uk, and there is a good chance, if you send one in, that it will be read out in Discast.
Wow, anyway, what an honour.
I've got a quick funny story for you, Joe, here.
Go on.
Funny Frisbee story. I was standing in the park, wondering why Frisbees got bigger as they got closer. Then it hit me.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway, come on, get...
Sorry to say I've heard it before in a different context.
Anyway, get them in. Frisbee stories. We'll read them out.
Okay, so speaking of listener requests, how about heading over to our Discast page on Podcast Alley? So if you go to www.podcastalley.com and then search for Discast and click on Details, you'll be able to obviously receive our episodes. You might have even received this episode from Podcast Alley. But how about going and voting for us? There's a small box kind of quite near the left of the page where you can click on Vote. And you simply have to just take a minute to enter your email address and then verify your vote by going to your email and clicking the link that's been sent to you by Podcast Alley. So,
we'd like your support and stuff as much as possible and feedback.
We'd love to be high up on those lists.
And just to mention feedback, the NAR is a UK, Discast podcast. Thread, I suppose, on the FPA forums. If you go onto the main page and scroll down to a segment called Anything Goes, and in there is the Frisbee Freestyle podcast Discast, and you can leave feedback about the show in there. But also, obviously, you can leave feedback either in our guest book at ukdistyle.com, or you can pop us an email at ukdistyle@yahoo.co.uk.
Sure can.
Anyway, that's it for Discast episode 3 for March 2006. We hope you've all enjoyed it just as much as last time.
Yep. I'm Joe McCrae.
And I'm John Coxhead.
I look forward to seeing you in April.
Bye.